hell, blimey. It's like you don't like us.
I like you for about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Anything beyond that is a...
It's so funny, in the edit, you can tell the point where Bloomy's had enough. Like,
yeah.
Every week.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
He's
yeah.
had enough.
Yeah.
He's rushing it.
It doesn't need...
Right, next.
moving on. Hello, and welcome to Feeling Naughty, a podcast where we transport you back in time as we discuss everything that made the decade great and not so great. In this episode, we'll be discussing movies in the 2000s. But to throw in a final act twist, we will be discussing bad films, not the good ones. You could say the naughty films of the noughties. Now, the 2000s may well be seen as the peak of blockbuster movie-making magic, where creators found that sweet spot of blending physical sets and craftsmanship with the growing quality in CGI. Independent cinema was booming and pushing its way into the mainstream. But as we know, for every panic room, there's a the room. Bad films come in all shapes and sizes, whether it's a high-budget box office bomb like Battlefield Earth or Alexander, or a low-budget mess where a wannabe auteur has simply bitten off more than they can chew. On occasion, you just get a film, or in some cases a film franchise, that is critically panned but somehow strikes gold at the box office. Well, luckily, I'm joined by my good friends Matt, Bully and Ethan to discuss all the bad films we can remember from the noughties, and a few guilty pleasures too. Good evening, chaps. It's that time of week again, isn't it? It's feeling naughty time. How are we doing?
Good, Mike.
Yeah, I'm doing all right, mate. I'm doing all right, thanks. Really good.
Oh,
we're good, mate.
Ethan, what are you drinking, mate?
I am drinking the Amber Nectar, the Foster's.
Australia's worst beer.
It's also Australia's greatest export. It's a very bad beer to drink, though, let's face it. Who's choosing to drink Foster's?
It's a good session beer, though, I think.
Only because it tastes like it's too weak.
Fair enough. Bully, my friend, how are you this evening, and what are you drinking?
I'm good, mate. I am on Prague's finest Staropramen. I mean, they were on offer, so I've got three of the bad boys, three big bottles of the bad boys, 660 millilitres. So, Michael, you've got a really tough edit ahead of you, my friend.
Yeah. Should you really be drinking at the moment, mate?
No. Painkillers and muscle relaxants. So I might sleep very well tonight, but I probably won't wake up very well.
Classic. Right. Classic combination. Painkillers and alcohol. Famously go well. Matt, how are you this evening? What are you drinking, mate?
I am very well, thank you. And I am drinking a lovely crisp Peroni.
Fancy man's beer.
Yeah, the fancy man's beer. £6 a pint, roughly, in the old London town these days, which is extortionate.
Why don't you tell the listeners about your basement?
It's flooded. Turns out, there's a thing called the water table, and when it rains, if you haven't protected your basement sufficiently, the water table comes through the basement and fucks all your shit up. So, if you have got a basement, I would Google tanking a basement and get someone to do it.
Yeah.
Educational.
I'm very well as well, chaps.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drinking an American Beauty American Blonde Ale. I recently just listened back to our video game episode, and I realised, like, for our listeners, Ethan is very, very quiet during that episode. Because he had a bad tooth, didn't you, Ethan? You had a bad tooth.
Yeah. And we edited everything he said because it was absolute nonsense.
Yeah. But Ethan, did you have a bad? Didn't you have a bad tooth?
Yeah.
So why the fuck do you spend the first 10 minutes munching nothing but Haribo?
I was trying to get a sugar rush because I was so shaky. Enough.
You know what's really good for toothache? Sugar.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Tangfastics.
I love Tangfastics.
Matt, have we got any feedback?
Of course we've got feedback. We've got feedback from the one and only Peter. He's back.
Pete. I've waited a week for this.
He's listened to our fashion episode. Well, he didn't listen to the full fashion episode. He did listen to our extra naughty special on fashion. And here's his feedback. He said, I was not relishing the prospect of an hour-long show, so was pleasantly surprised when there was a shorter clip. And the chaps took on some of my feedback and had some guests on the show. So it wasn't necessarily because of Peter's feedback, but he can have that one.
it was before,
however, it appears my other feedback was not so easily adopted. Lots of effing, he says. Lots of effing. Sorry, Peter. He said, whilst there are certainly no flame shirts, I wore my fair share of cardigans through the years. Peter is 81, for those who don't know. He said, I would certainly not wear anything that showed any skin or hair. I imagine he had hair on his head. But I think he was alluding to the V-necks there.
Oh, yeah, V-necks.
He would wear a bike helmet.
Exposed on.
he also has said, I had white loafers. And whilst I certainly didn't look like a magician, now I think about it, I did look like a butcher's apprentice. So there we go. And he's also just started randomly giving us facts. So he's given us a fact. He said,
Peter's facts of the week.
We can create a jingle for this.
Peter's fact of the week.
He said, did you know that British Army dog tags are not rectangular like the US? They are, in fact, round. Thanks, Peter.
I didn't know that, actually.
I didn't know that. Good fact.
He hasn't listened to the gaming episode, but I did ask him about gaming. He said, I was no stranger to the BBC microcomputers. There was a game called Castle Quest, which was quite entertaining. So there we go. That was it from Peter.
Right. I'm in charge of tonight's episode, and we're going to change things up a little bit. So obviously we've done things like TV, we've done video games, we've done music, but now's the time, I think, that we have a chat about some of the films from the 2000s. But rather than pick our favourite films, I've asked the boys whether they can pick some of their least favourite films of the 2000s, and we can have a bit of a chat about some of the horrendous films from that decade. So we're being a little bit more negative than normal this week, which is a slight change because we normally talk about things that we like and it's a very positive podcast. But not today, because I'm in charge.
I like a good moan.
I love a good moan, mate. I prefer to be negative, if anything.
I am going to come to Ethan first. Can you tell us one of your picks for worst films of the 2000s and your reasons why?
My first choice is going to be a film called Jumper.
Oh, that is a pile of shit.
That is such a bad film.
It is a really bad film. It had a really massive hype because of the cast it had. So it had Hayden Christian, the guy from Star Wars.
Hayden Christensen. For God's sake.
The worst actor I've probably ever watched. He was terrible. Samuel Jackson was in it.
Yeah.
They got Jamie the whole Star Bell. Wars gang back together, didn't they?
Kirsten Stewart.
What was it about?
It's a teenage action adventure where Hayden can jump from place to place.
He can teleport, right? He's not good at long jump.
Jump place to place.
He can jump here.
I mean, we can all jump from place to place.
If you let you finish.
Go on.
Teleport from place to place. He doesn't realise there's more people like him, and he didn't know there's going to be consequences about it.
Jumping with consequences.
jumping because he starts off, he jumps, a bit of a bank robbery, doesn't he? One of the scenes, he jumps in and out of a bank vault, and he's just like swimming all the money.
Yeah, he just jumps in.
Right, so the bloke can teleport, he's just living a life. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can teleport, whatever. But apparently there were some consequences, were there?
Yeah, sorry, you've got to explain the central concept a little bit more than this. What do you mean he can jump in out? So how can he teleport? How can he teleport? Why?
I don't think he even explains that, to be fair.
No, he doesn't really explain it.
Wasn't there certain rules? Like, did he have to like know where he was jumping to? He couldn't just go moon.
Yeah, because I think otherwise he gets stuck in a wall or something.
If he can see where, if he sees where he's jumping to, then it's fine. So if he looks at something, then he can see where he's jumping. But then he gets in big trouble about it. But the film was a really it was hyped up to be a cool, edgy film with a big cast, and it was just crap.
It was crap. I mean, it wasn't quite as crap as your explanation about what it was about. But
I don't quite get why it was a bad thing. I know obviously he's robbing banks and stuff, but why were people chasing him?
Because there were so Samuel Jackson, they were like anti jumping people, and they to capture them, they would electrocute you for some reason. If you were electrocuted, you couldn't teleport away from them. I don't know. It was just a bit of it was like. It didn't really get into the backstory.
It stunned him, and then he had to put it in the floor so that he wouldn't run, jump away.
That's what Samuel Jackson did. Sorry, what? I've not seen this.
He put like an electric lead on them.
Yeah.
Right.
If
we have listeners who have not seen this, just hear Ethan say, yeah, it stuns them, then they stick it on the floor and they can't move. I'm like, what?
A big magnet.
It's like the jumpers and the anti-jumpers are like their arch rivals, and that their rivalry goes back through history. And I don't know why, but Samuel Jackson is trying to round up the teleporters, and they have the ability to track when people have been jumping. They refer to it as. So the premise of it is Billy Elliot comes in and tells Hayden Christensen off, saying, "Why have you been jumping around? They're going to come find us now." They find them. Someone else gets electrocuted. It ends.
So when did you see this, Ethan?
I don't know. I didn't get it.
It was released in 2008.
I remember because I went to go to the cinema to watch it, and it was sold out. And then I had to watch it on an illegal stream, obviously. And I'm glad I didn't pay £6.50 at View Portsmouth to watch it. Right. But Ethan's quality research will tell you the exact date.
2008.
Yeah, good.
Bully, let's come to you and for one of your picks.
So mine, they're not necessarily complete flops, but they're a flop in my eyes because of what preceded them. So my pick here is going to be Blade Trinity.
Oh, yes.
The worst of the Blade films by a long stretch. Blade 1, dark, gritty, badass film. Blade 2, bit of money put behind it, again, quite dark, gritty. Blade 3, basically spent all its money on its cast. So a bit like Jumper, went all on the cast. So you've obviously got Wesley Snipes, you've got Jessica Biel in there, you've got Ryan Reynolds, you've got Dominic Purcell, who plays Dracula, basically. Triple H from wrestling.
And he pedigrees someone, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does pedigree someone.
That's when you know it's a bad film, when you've got a vampire pedigreeing someone.
Yeah, it's an appalling film. It's so bad. The basic premise is that the bad guys, the vampires, they're waking up Dracula because Blade is a badass and he's killing everyone. But that fight that you want between Dracula and Blade isn't what it should be. It's not like him versus Deacon Frost in Blade 1.
Oh, it's Deacon Frost, what a great baddie he was, eh?
And a very good-looking man.
Sexy baddie.
He was sexy, yeah.
Dorff.
But this, it was. I think they had like vampire dogs in it as well.
Yeah, a vampire Pomeranian.
Yeah.
And they insinuated one of the I can't remember whose character. I think it was Ryan Reynolds' character was had sex with a vampire who had a vampire vagina, and I was like, these things are. And he made a fart joke. I was like, when you're making fart jokes in Blade, you've ruined it, mate.
It was very much written for Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. That's pretty much what he did.
It was like Van Wilder went to Blade.
Hannibal King was his name. Yeah. So there was basically a group of humans that would essentially hunt vampires. One of them was the daughter of Whistler, who's basically Blade's handler in the other two films, which is played by Jessica Biel. Mm. And they would help Blade fight these people. But ultimately, their thing was that Dracula was going to release a virus. I mean, a bit like now. And turn everyone into daywalking vampires. And it was dog shit. I don't know what happened with Wesley Snipes. He might have been on the roids, but in films 1 and 2...
Or the tax evasion.
He might have had that small stint in prison. And he wasn't quite as big and not quite as daunting. So, yeah, awful film.
Yeah. He was probably getting on a bit, to be fair. I think he's older than you think, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to be fair, he is currently 58.
Yeah. Do you know what? This is about Blade 2, fun fact. Do you know the Goss brothers? Matt and Luke? Luke Goss was the main evil man in Blade 2. I can't remember his name.
I don't know.
From the band Bros. Yeah, you do know it, mate. They're from the band Bros. Yeah.
Oh, Bros.
80s.
Yeah, but their last... Their
he's the main
Goss.
Baddie.
Yeah, he's...
It is such a shame that Blade 3 is so bad. I don't understand why it's so bad. Excellent. Thank you, Bully. Let's move on to Matt. Let's have one of your picks, please.
Right. I'm going to ask you if you've seen it first. And it's because it breaks the golden rule of films, which is basing a film on a video game, which you should never, ever do. And it's a 2005 film. I paid good money to see it in the cinema. And it was hands down the worst. Do you know films sometimes, they're bad, but they're so bad they're good. It wasn't even that. It was just terrible from start to finish. And it was Alone in the Dark. I'm going to say none of you have seen it. Anyone?
I've not seen it. No.
Like, so basically, don't base films on video games. I'll give you a list. Tomb Raider, shit. Doom. Final Fantasy, Resident Evil, all right, Max Payne, Street Fighter, I could go on. They're all terrible films. You shouldn't do it. Now, Alone in the Dark is not an even particularly well-known video game franchise. So they've based a film on a video franchise that's not very well-known and on a spin-off of that video franchise. It's like based on Alone in the Dark 4. And when I say based, Alone in the Dark is a bit like Resident Evil, but Alone in the Dark, the film, the premise is Christian Slater and Tara Reid, and Tara Reid is god awful in it, I tell you. She's so bad. It's like someone has gone, do you want to be in this film? And she's gone, how much? And they've gone, I don't know, 30 grand. And she's gone, fine, but I'm wrapping it up in 3 days. She plays the same person as American Pie. Anyway, the premise is Christian Slater is like a professor of the paranormal, and he's like part of the paranormal FBI basically, and he has to find some tablets to stop dog aliens invading the earth. It's not even got anything to do with the video games. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's so bad. The plot is just halfway through the film he's investigating a haunted house, and all of a sudden he's got to go to Mexico for some reason to stop a portal because loads of alien dogs are coming out of it. It is terrible. It is honestly. I'd say watch it, but you wouldn't get through it. And Tara Reid, I know you're not going to be listening, but you should have retired after that. It was so. And I just remember, and the worst thing about it was, I was trying to impress a girl at the time. I lived in Spain, and I took her to go see it. And after that, we never spoke again. It was just so. But I was just like, I'm so sorry I had to put you through that.
It's also got Stephen Dorff in it as well.
It has got Stephen. It's
from Blade.
Yeah.
This is the Stephen Dorff episode.
Yeah, it's so... If you Google it, it's like wildly renowned as one of the worst films ever made. I mean,
it's got pretty bad ratings.
It's got
really bad ratings.
2.4 on IMDb. I mean, that is bad. Rotten Tomatoes, 1%. It's like they've sacked the director halfway through and gone, another director's come on and go, I didn't like the direction you were taking it. Have you ever heard of a zombie dogs?
It's my turn to pick a film. I'm pretty sure we've all seen this. It is one of the biggest films of the decade in terms of box office returns. But it's also hands down one of the worst, and the worst film in this very, very famous franchise of films. Anyone want to have a guess what it is?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Give us a hint.
Matrix Revolutions.
It is Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. Although it's got quite a big fanfare, hasn't it? The earlier Star Wars films, I think. With, like, some people.
It's absolutely hideous. It is an absolute horrible film. Have we all seen it?
Yeah, I saw it loads. Seen,
well, the film releases anyway.
A long time ago.
And it's why it's so bad is because that arsehole, Hayden Christensen, can't act.
Yeah, so Stephen Dorff's got two mentions, and Hayden Christian, in Ethan's eyes, has got two mentions as well. So, yeah, so Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, is the second of the prequels of the Star Wars saga. And it introduces Hayden Christensen playing the very famous Anakin Skywalker, who was played by Jake Lloyd in The Phantom Menace as a small boy. So they changed the person playing Anakin Skywalker, and he is awful in it. Absolutely terrible. Really, really cannot act. Constantly kind of moaning. Really, really unlikable character.
He's like an emo Jedi, isn't he? And there's some really quite... really quite good monologue, or there should be some quite good monologue in that film that he absolutely butchers because he's just a crap actor, basically. Yeah, in the bin with Tara Reid.
He's alongside Ewan McGregor, who actually I think is quite good in those three films.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor plays Obi-Wan.
Especially with his comb over.
7 out of 10 I'd give him, but Hayden Christensen.
Also another film with Samuel L. Jackson in it, so.
Yeah, he's getting lots of mentions. Samuel L's everywhere. He just likes the money. This film is absolutely dreadful. It has a plot that makes no sense. It's got so much CGI. There's basically nothing in the film that's got anything real in it, and it looks dreadful. It has got the worst love story in perhaps any major blockbuster film, with the terrible, terrible dialogue between Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen, including the famous sand monologue.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's coarse and it gets everywhere. I'm really angry because I went to the cinema to see that as well, and it was... and I don't know... as much as I like Star Wars, that is the worst one. Even I could deal with Jar Jar Binks because I was so excited about Episode 1, but by the time Episode 2 rolled around, I was just like, I can't be doing this.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks is a massive thorn in the side of it all, but yeah, this one is...
Yeah, and like you say, the thing why I think the sequel, so Episode 7, was so successful, because it brought reality back to the Star Wars as in actual places, whereas if you're right, like if you watch Episode 2, it must have 99% been filmed in a warehouse in front of a green screen, and it just loses so much because of it.
Yeah, it is dreadful. And it has, hands down, my least favourite bit in any Star Wars film, which I think destroys a character beyond repair.
I know what you're going to say.
Forever. What am I going to say?
You're going to say Yoda's lightsaber battle.
I am going to say Yoda's lightsaber battle. Yoda should not have a lightsaber. He should not jump around like a funny little jumping bean, all right? This is Yoda. He's a Jedi Master. He doesn't have to have a lightsaber. That's the whole fucking point, George Lucas. You remember you wrote the original films? Did you forget what you meant, you moron?
Yeah, anyway, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, that's, George Lucas.
That's nasty, Mike's coming Michael. At
you. Do you know what the worst bit about that is, as well, you haven't mentioned? There's this pit where all the evil guys are scheming around the table, and there's like just an alien that looks like a foot. There's like a robot alien. There's like just a normal man with an eye patch. It's just fucking terrible.
Let's face it, throughout all of Star Wars, there's always the one alien that has like one line that just looks like the back end of a horse.
It's a trap!
But normally it's not in a suspenseful scene about the baddies like plotting the end of the universe.
All right there, podcast listener, you've only gone and found Feeling Naughty.
Give us a follow on @feelingnaughty on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to email us, it's feelingnaughty, N-O-U-G-H-T-I-E, @gmail.com to let us know what you got up to in the noughties, or if you want us to talk about absolutely anything at all. Back to the boys!
Can you tell me one of your guilty pleasures? So a film that you're pretty sure is dreadful, but you actually rather love it. I'm going to come to Bully first.
So my thing is more of a genre, really. So my guilty pleasures are shit B-movie animal films. So
right.
Excuse me. We're talking, so anything like mega, I mean, I've got some lists out. So I've got Mega Shark versus Giant Squid. Yep, seen it. Anacondas 2. Open Water. Black Sheep.
Open Water doesn't even have any sharks in it. They just float around for ages. No.
Yeah. And Rogue, which is about a crocodile. So that has Sam Worthington in it, right? And he's quite a famous actor. Not so much now, but was then. He was in Terminator reboot. And he dies within the first 5 minutes of the film. There are some good ones that are probably class as shit animal movies. You have the original Anaconda with J-Lo, Jenny from the Block. Arachnophobia, also a classic. Jaws kind of gets in there, but I wouldn't class it as a shit one. Deep Blue Sea as well. Very, very good.
You're reading off a lot of 90s-based films here, Billy.
Yeah, no, Snakes on a Plane. Samuel Jackson's getting another mention. And this one isn't in the noughties, but Sharknado. So Tara Reid's getting another mention as well. Sharknado, classic animal
Was that
B-movie.
Not in the noughties?
It was just after. Shit animal B movies. They're brilliant. I watched one last night. It was appalling.
What did you watch last night?
It was called Jurassic Island. It was basically a massive ripoff of Jumanji. It was called Jurassic Island, I think only because it had one dinosaur in it for 2 minutes of the whole film. But it's basically Jumanji. People get sucked into a game, save people, come out of the game. But then I looked at Jurassic Island thinking, all right, and we definitely saw a blooper in it. There's a scene in the background where in a big desert, and you can just see someone walking across the background. It has nothing to do with the plot. It's like someone's obviously just trekking somewhere in America. It's appalling. But you look at Jurassic Island, it's basically like it's a massive Chinese franchise, so I think it's their ripoff of Jurassic Park. I think that's probably why they named it.
Billy, can I tell you one you should definitely watch if you haven't watched it already?
Yes, please. Yes,
it's called Legion of Fire, Killer Ants. You should watch it.
Oh, I'm in it.
It's,
so this is the comment.
It's quite freaky, and I was scared for ants for a while after I watched it. So, like, they've got ants, basically, that can eat humans. But for some reason, the humans can't run away from the ants. It's really weird. But
seriously. So this really, is something really that I share quite deeply with my wife. We love rubbish films like this. So we've seen, like, sand sharks, sharks in Venice, stuff like that. It's, yeah.
Honestly,
TV, it's getting watched.
You watch Legion of Fire, Killer Ants, and then you look at an ant in the face again, you won't be able to.
Well, so you've gone with just shit animal movies. Some are from the noughties, some are not, but they're guilty pleasures. So, Ethan, what is your guilty pleasure?
So, my guilty pleasure, I think only me and Michael have seen this film.
Oh, home movie.
The film's called Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Oh, yes.
That is a home movie.
Wait, do you know what I thought you were going to say, mate? I thought you were going to say Pootie Tang. Which, sorry, I'm just going to interject, is about a man who has a... He has a belt that he uses as a weapon to fight crime with that he calls Pootie Tang. Sorry.
I know what the film is. It's like a piss take out of karate films, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So it's literally a guy. Some people tried to kill him as a baby, and the baby beats everyone up.
as a baby
like a newborn, and then he grows up and he finds a trainer to train him up because he wants to go after this guy called Betty. Betty is the guy who tries to kill him. The line is, Betty.
Because Ethan, because he's the chosen one.
So the image is him in a typical kung fu pose, but as like nunchucks. The end of the nunchuck is what I think is a
two,
beaver.
Two hamsters.
Hamsters, yeah.
So it's just a really funny film. Betty has three triangles on his body. So the chosen one has to remove the triangles to kill Betty. So he sorts after Master Tang to teach him the ways to remove the triangles. And through it, the dubbing is so good, it's so bad.
Well,
they take the mick out of dubbed traditional.
Yeah, but it's not just taking the mick. The main concept here is the USP is that they've taken footage from actual Chinese films from the 70s, and they've cut it with modern day acting. So the main character is a guy in the 2000s, but most of the footage is like taken from old films, and so yeah, they've dubbed over it in English. But they've taken the mic, and all of the sound timing is out, and so like you'll get moments where a character's mouth moves for quite a few times, and then just one word comes out.
Is this the film where the guy fights a cow?
Yes,
I've googled it. Yes, I need to ask that. He's fighting a cow.
I remember someone printing out images of this film. I've never watched it, but I think it's probably one of you two in the IT lab.
I've never heard of this film ever.
School. Oh, it's so good.
I have it on DVD at the moment.
Oh, if only we could go and watch it.
It doesn't look like it would pass various screening tests these days.
It's so funny. Well,
so does he
take off the triangles?
Does it say what's wrong? But this guy is also not Chinese. Does he pretend to be Chinese? Is it?
No, he just. No one makes a reference to the fact that he's not Chinese. He is Chinese in the film.
Everyone else is Chinese.
Everyone else is Chinese apart from the main guy.
The main guy also directed, produced, and wrote the story as well.
He looks like a young Henry Winkler.
He wrote the theme tune. He sang the theme tune.
But there's some great one-liners in there, isn't there, Ethan?
There is very good one-liners. So there's a dog barking. So you see the dog barking for like 5 seconds, and all you hear is woof.
there's the famous.
And then you've got Betty, who's. So what they described the scene of, where can you find Betty? He is up there on the mountain, swinging a chain. And then he cut to him just having a chain and him going, Betty, swinging the chain, swinging the chain.
Yeah, swinging the chain. And also there's the romantic lead who, she sounds like Miss Piggy. And so she keeps sort of going, wee, 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 wee. Every time she's just like, chosen one, wee, wee, wee. It's so weird. It's so weird. Oh, dear.
You have to watch it. It's so, so funny.
Does he fight with these beaver nunchucks? Because there's a couple of images.
I think so.
Yeah, he does.
But like all of the pictures will be him fighting a cow and with the beavers, but they're like the least funny bits of the film. It's all about the lines and the one lines. It's a very
sort
funny
of one-liners,
yeah. So it sounds weird. Like something every early teen boy would have loved in the
It's possibly something that might be enjoyed slightly more with a certain illegal substance. I've got my guilty pleasure. It's actually two films that came out very, very close to one another. So this is films about football hooligan firms. The first being Nick Loves the Football Factory.
Yeah,
and then the second being Green Street. So both films are about football hooligan firms. Football Factory stars everyone's favourite Danny Dyer.
He's a geezer, isn't he?
He's and Tamer Hussein. and a few other run-of-the-mill English geezer actors that are now all inevitably in EastEnders. And the Green Street, yep. That was so Football Factory was like it was kind of on the back of films like Lock, Stock and Snatch, and so it was popular with, like, there was a little era of English crime comedies in the early 2000s that were sort of popular and had similar cast members, and awesome. Football Factory really got on the back of that, and everyone seemed to like it, but it really is a dreadful film, but it is relatively light-hearted.
Quite a good soundtrack as well, from what I remember.
Yeah, good soundtrack. Now Green Street was it could well have been in production at the time that Football Factory came out, but it came out a year later, and Green Street takes itself far too seriously considering how bad a film it is. Now Green Street's got, it's interesting because it's got Elijah Wood, who up until that point was only known for playing Frodo Baggins.
Yeah, the Yank.
And so yeah, Yank, so he plays an American journalist graduate whose sister lives in London, and she is married to an ex West Ham hooligan. So Football Factory is about the Chelsea firm, by the way, and Green Street's about the West Ham firm. And both have the opposition firm being Millwall, isn't it?
Millwall.
And so Green Street's got Elijah Wood in it. It's got Charlie Hunnam, everyone's favourite Jax from Sons of Anarchy. Maybe. So when he was a bit younger. And do you remember I said he has a horrendous accent in Sons of Anarchy, horrendous, yeah, American accent.
He's
he has an even worse English accent in Green Street, despite the fact he's English.
Yeah,
so he's a Geordie. He's a Geordie and he's playing a Cockney, but it is so bad. Such a bad accent.
Rafe Spall's in it. Do you know?
Oh, yes, Rafe Spall. Absolutely. Yeah. Rafe Spall plays a very sort of minor character in the background. Now, I watched this a few years ago and I just pissed myself laughing from start to finish. It is so bad. The lines in it are horrendous. The funniest bit that made me laugh so much is that there's a sequence where they all go to the pub before a match and they're all having banter and having pints of lager ready before they go to the match and watch a football and then have a big fight. And there's a sequence where they pretend that Elijah Wood was a karate master who was taught karate by the real life Mr. Miyagi.
Cobra Kai, baby.
I don't know why I find this funny, but there's a shot of Rafe Spall and he just goes bollocks like that. He goes, bollocks. All right. And then it cuts away from him and then it goes back to him, and so in like real time it sounds like this. Bollocks. Bollocks. And if you rewind it, you realise it's exactly the same shot twice, like about 5 seconds apart from. So in the edit, they must have just gone, oh yeah, we really need to emphasise the word bollocks here. And they just put the exact same shot with the exact same sound. And I wet myself laughing at that.
That
anyway,
sounded too good, so you can't replicate that. We'll
absolutely.
Do it twice, that's fine.
Do it twice. Any
it
other
much,
memories
Mike.
Of it? I know, sorry.
Yank Jerno. Yeah, just going around. Every time I meet an American now, I call him a Yank Jerno. No,
you probably do Americans.
No, I remember I didn't like Football Factory because I just felt it was a bit too much, like, I don't know, everyone was trying to, that was the time when we were all popping our collar, wasn't it? Trying to be a bit too fuggish. It was a bit too, like, idolised by ruffians, is what I would say. Whereas Green Street was, at least it was trying to be serious, but it was harmless because it had Frodo Baggins running around.
No, Green Street is Football Factory is a far better film.
Yeah, it's a better film.
It's a better film than Green Street.
I much preferred Football Factory. And looking at the cast, there's at least
they're
three
both
people
shit.
That are definitely
Football Factory
or have
is
been
a bad
in EastEnders.
Film.
Football Factory is a funny film.
You had Tamer Hussein, who was, I think he might have been leader of the bad, the Millwall. Yeah.
Did you know he was like a real boxer in real life?
His daughter, who was in Love Island, is also in that film as well.
Oh, really?
Is she?
Bella Hassan, yeah. She is. Shout out, Bella.
Shout out,
Bella. Bella. Okay. Let's go back to Ethan and let's get another one of your worst films, please, mate.
So, this film, I believe all of us have seen it. The film is called Freddy Got Fingered.
I purposely stayed away from this bit.
Yeah, I really dislike, like, gross-out comedy. It's, like, the lowest form of comedy. And Freddy Got Fingered is like, the peak of grossed out comedy, isn't it?
We
like silly, like stupid films and TV.
Mate, don't put me in that category with your fucking Freddy Got Fingered.
But this, it was just very, it's just too stupid. Like,
listen,
too immature.
I'm gonna have to stop you here. Like, I'm gonna say something controversial. I don't think Freddy Got Fingered is stupid at all. I think Freddy Got Fingered is a work of genius. I'll come explain why at the end. I'll let Ethan talk, but I actually think it's...
Fuck off.
I don't think it deserves to be on this list.
It does. Get in the fucking bin.
I think, like, Tom Green is probably the worst person ever.
I agree. I'm with you.
I think he tries too much. He tries too much to be funny. And it's just, like, crap, really.
Are you joking? We would wet ourselves watching this film.
The whole reason it's called Freddy Got Fingered, he's referring to his own dad fingering
his son.
Yeah, I know, but
it's a lie, isn't it?
It's a lie.
Yeah, it is a lie. It is a lie. But it's not funny. It's fucking horrendous. Hate it. Hate it.
What is Freddy Got Fingered about and why is it bad?
Well,
I know why it's bad.
It's not about much. He's an unemployed guy who goes back to live with his parents. His dad fucking hates him because he thinks he's a loser because he just draws cartoons all day. And then, but
you've missed. He's a comic book writer. He's a comic book artist.
He draws cartoons.
He's a comic book artist. That's the whole point of the film.
So. people talk to him, and then, like, one of the scenes is his girlfriend tells him to you've got to think about you've got to have food, you've got to think about your art, you've got to draw your art. And then one of the scenes is he's got a load of sausages on strings while playing the keyboard.
Say it, Ethan.
And then his dad walks in and he's like, Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Yeah. Okay.
Mate, I agree
with ridiculous.
You.
No, it's good.
I hate it. It's got Rip Torn on it, who is from, who everyone else would know from Men in Black. But
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. Yeah, fair enough.
But Rip Torn's amazing in it.
Yeah, but the whole film is shit.
No, it's not.
So shit.
Yeah.
I mean, currently Tom Green lives in a caravan somewhere out in America.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
no,
fact.
That's an actual
fact.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's left LA.
In a caravan.
Yeah. But can I explain why it's a genius film? You're all wrong.
You can try and lie to me, but yeah, go on.
Right. Ethan has not explained the plot at all by just saying it's about an unemployed man and people talk to him. All right, okay. What he is, he's a comic book artist who he gets his big lucky break. He goes, the whole beginning of the film is him going off to, like, California to have meetings with people, and, like, don't you remember, like, his dad gives him a car.
He gives him a car with a number plate saying number one son.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm your number one son.
And then it's got the hilarious bit with him and Rip Torn, and he's just like,
I'm going to make you proud, Daddy.
And then he's like, proud.
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 Proud. And it goes on for far too long. Anyway, he goes off and he gets offered, like, a load of money, like millions of dollars. And he gets offered $1 million to make his famous comic book. Now, it's meta, isn't it? It's self-referential. It's a joke. It's Tom Green, who was famous at the time for the Tom Green Show on MTV. It's basically like him saying, "I can't believe you've given me money to make a film." He's not just in that film. He wrote and directed it. He's basically saying, "I can't believe you've given me money to make a film. You've given me millions of dollars. I'm going to make a film about how ridiculous that is and just put loads of stupid sequences together." It's a work of genius.
Well, he could have done something better with the money, couldn't he?
No, it's so funny.
Yeah, and actually not, and then now not be living in a caravan in Texas.
There's one of the scenes.
He married Drew Barrymore.
Who hasn't?
One of the scenes is where he's driving in his brand new car, stops off at a farm to see a horse, and then starts grabbing the horse's dick.
Yeah. See, gross out comedy is the lowest.
It's just
no, it's not.
It's
taking those ideas and taking them so far, and it's just a bloke saying, "I can't believe I'm getting away with this." So for no reason whatsoever, I'm going to have a character who stops a car, gets out, and then goes and tosses off a horse.
It sounds like someone covering up making an absolute shit movie. He's like, oh yeah, I made it because it was a reference to my ridiculous... It won the Golden Raspberry for worst picture, worst screen couple, worst director, worst actor, and worst screenplay.
You're all wrong. It's a work of art.
We didn't rate them.
Well, you and them are wrong.
And by the way, he was only married to Drew Barrymore for about 9 months, so it didn't go well.
Don't matter. Still did it. You haven't married her, have you? So don't slag it off.
Not yet.
You fucked a Charlie's Angel? No.
Oi, oi. Thank you for listening to Feeling Naughty. Give us a follow, like, and comment on Instagram or Twitter. Or both. If you would like to email us, it's feelingnaughty, NOUGHTIE, @gmail.com. We would love to hear from you in what you got up to in the noughties. Enough of me, let's get back to the boys.
Anyway, let's go to you, Matt. What's your second pick?
My second pick is, it's not a genre, it's a specific film, but it represents a specific type of film. And there's many films that are probably worse, but I bloody hated it. Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen. I hate Michael Bay. Later Michael Bay. He's like, let's make a movie. What can we do? Well, make it loud, blow up. Everything's got to blow up at one stage. And one of my pet peeves in movies, which is why I'm not looking forward to The Matrix 4, by the way, is when characters die, and then the next film, they're just like, they're back. So Optimus Prime, the first Transformers, as a standalone, it can pass. It's literally within about 5 minutes of Revenge of the Fallen, it's like, Optimus Prime, he's back.
Matt, can you just help me out? Which one's that?
What?
Which one's Revenge of the Fallen?
The second one.
Ah, okay.
In the series.
What is the second one?
So basically,
they're all the same film.
They're all Transformers. They're living on the Earth and they're looking to settle down in, I don't know, some part of America. That's what it's like. They're literally like, where should we live? And then there's this old Transformer for some reason. I don't know how Transformers age, but there's a Transformers with a beard and a walking stick. And he's going,
yeah.
And he's like warning the other Transformers going, yes, but you don't know. The Fallen are on their way, and we need Optimus Prime back. And it's like, why is this an old Transformer? There are machines. They don't grow beards. And anyway, and the thing I hate about it is, like, in the first one, there's always, like, an object that they have to find. In the first one, it's like, you've got to find the Ark of... It's like a...
It's the Allspark. Allspark. Come on, mate.
In this one, it's like an orb or something. It's just the same shit to basically appease a very specific type of person who likes loud bangs, Shia LaBeouf being off his nut on coke whilst filming because he's far too... He's just the most annoying little... The only good thing about it is... It just represents like films that have become you don't need a brain to watch. Do you know what I mean? It's just nonsense. And the worst thing about it is they make shit ton of money. That's why there's about 100 of them. That's why, Michael, you're like, which one is it? I'm like,
every single one has surpassed $1 billion at the box office.
But they're the same bloody thing. It's like, what's the problem? Optimus Prime is dead. What's the solution? This shiny orb. Is it an orb? Is it a spark?
It's not an orb.
Is it a star? Whatever. Oh, look, we found it. We stuck in Optimus Prime. He shot his big gun. The end.
So my favourite YouTube channel, shout out to Red Letter Media, they did a thing where they played the first three films, so Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and I think the third one's called Dark Side of the Moon or something like that.
Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, and they play
like
them.
Pink Floyd album.
They play all three at the same time. And you can literally see basically each film has, it follows, it's beat for beat the same film. Like, they stop at the same point. They have a fight scene at the same point. The only difference is the third one's end fight scene is about 15 minutes longer than the others. But they are identical films. They are shit.
They're absolute trash, yeah.
The first one was really good.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't really good. It was different to what everything else happened
before.
Yeah, it was good. Let's blow everything up.
But they shouldn't have. Carried on.
And for me, it represents. Yeah, listen. The end of the day, if it makes money, they'll make more of them. That's how Hollywood works, right? But here's a stat for you, and this is probably what's wrong with the world. Transformers film series budget $1.1 billion, box office $4.8 billion. Christ, no wonder they make more.
Billion.
All of them added up together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it's made nearly $5 billion.
Yeah, but it's because the Chinese market love it.
I know, but
no, that's not, that, they just do. They love it.
Yeah, they're wrong. I hate it. It's shit.
When they got rid of Megan Fox, that's what happened.
Megan Fox was shit in it as well.
Yeah, that's where she
eye candy
burst onto the scene, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then Shia LaBeouf before he did too much drugs to go mental.
He was big and even Stevens.
I didn't fancy Shia LaBeouf.
Right, it's my pick. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen this. It wouldn't be a film podcast if I didn't mention a random obscure one that's going to alienate. Certainly Ethan and Bully. Bloomy may have seen this. Okay, has any of you seen Donnie Darko?
Of course I've seen Donnie Darko.
Yes, of course you're putting that in one of your bad picks.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking you whether you've seen.
You're going to see the follow-up. What's it called? Westland Tales or something shit like that.
Right. So Donnie Darko is an absolute favourite of mine. I think it's a brilliant film.
Cult film.
Great early performance from Jake Gyllenhaal. It's also got Drew Barrymore in it. Patrick Swayze. What an incredible film.
Directed by Richard Kelly.
Absolutely. And it's directed by Richard Kelly in his debut film. And he was seen as the next big thing. It was kind of surreal, supernatural. Perhaps he could be the next David Lynch, who is my all-time favourite director. So then when Richard Kelly announced his next film,
Southland Tales,
which was Southland Tales, I was very, very excited because it had a lot of promise of some of the weirdness of Donnie Darko, but with a much bigger budget and a much bigger name cast. Some of the names that were cast in this film include Dwayne The Rock Johnson in his first lead role. Not his first credit in a film. That, my friends, was the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns.
And trust me, that nearly made one of my picks as well.
The CGI when he turns into a scorpion is the worst CGI ever.
The Mummy films aren't there. They're a Sunday film watch, Sunday afternoon watch. The CGI on that is awful.
Oh, yeah. So this was not The Rock's first film, but it was his first lead role. It's also got Sarah Michelle Gellar, who plays a porn star. It has got Sean William Scott, who plays twins in the film. It also stars Justin Timberlake in one of his first film roles as well. He plays an ex-Marine. It's also got, you know, loads and loads of other people in it. People like Mandy Moore. It's got lots of like Saturday Night Live type people. And I don't, have you ever seen this, Bloomy?
Have you ever seen this, Matt? Yeah, I have seen it. All I remember from it, though, is there's a scene where Justin Timberlake sings All These Things I've Done by The Killers.
Yeah.
It's like set in, like, is it like an alternate history, basically, isn't it?
Where it's set in an alternate history, yeah.
Destroyed, but there's been like a nuclear attack.
So there was a nuclear attack in the US.
And there was something really rad, like someone's going to save, is it the porn star's going to save the world for some reason? Something along those lines. But it was so, the plot line, I was like you, I love Donnie Darko, and I was quite excited for it. I think we even like chatted about it, and then when it came out and I watched it, it was one of those ones where I was trying to convince myself it was good. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it is absolutely incomprehensible. You have no idea what is going on. It was famously booed at the Cannes Film Festival when it was played, which isn't as bad as it sounds. That's quite a regular thing. But it was booed at the Cannes Film Festival. They had to re-edit the whole film before it got a theatrical release. In order to have any idea what's going on, you have to have read not one, but two comic books that were released before it. It features, so Dwayne Johnson plays an amnesiac film star who's going into politics. Sarah Michelle Gellar plays a porn star. There's some kind of conspiracy going on. There's like an anarchist group that have kidnapped Sean William Scott, but he's a clone, but he's a twin, but they're like the messiah. At the same time, Justin Timberlake is an ex-Marine who's been taking some drugs, and if you take this drug, you can see the future.
Yeah, there was something about they were like trying to change the way the Earth spun or something to kill the world. It was really weird.
They slow down the world so that they can to time travel.
It was
something
so
like that. And then the whole film ends with Sean William Scott meeting his twin / clone brother thing. And then they go in they get in the back of a like a TV truck, and then it starts flying. And if they hold hands, the world will end. And The Rock and some bloke shoots a bazooka at an airship.
Very nearly one of my picks, actually, Mike, because it's the only film to date that I think I've watched, not comprehended, and not even be bothered to look back and think. I even at the time I was thinking, I ain't fucking going to read up about that. That's just going in the bin.
It's one of these films where it's got these delusions of grandeur. Excuse me. It's got these delusions of grandeur as if it's like about something deep and profound. But it is, and so because there's lots of films that are difficult to understand, but this is just nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And why I've picked it is because Richard Kelly was this director that had so much promise, and it was just this realization of like, oh, yeah, Donnie Darko is a fluke, wasn't it? It's like, because Donnie Darko is practically incomprehensible as well, but there's so much kind of like, good things about that film that you think it's about something bigger and better, and then you realise actually it's just the scribblings of a really juvenile philosophy student, and he's made no film since. He's really disappointing.
It's like Donnie Darko, he threw all his cards up in the air and they just landed in a perfect card pyramid.
It's what we call lightning in a bottle.
Do you reckon he's fed off of Donnie Darko? Obviously, I don't know how well Donnie Darko went down originally.
It didn't make any money. It was a cult success.
Cult. So Jake Gyllenhaal, that was probably his first...
And Maggie, wasn't it?
I'm gonna gamble. His first stand-up. But then from go to that to hiring The Rock, which, again, his first role, that's pre what he's obviously now, roids. Sean Scott is not a good actor, so you can. So you're getting Buffy the Vampire Slayer in there as well, and JT, an early.
But
JT.
I think what he thought he was doing was making some kind of like commentary, because the whole thing's about Southland Tales, so the whole thing's set in California. So I think he was making some kind of commentary about Hollywood. So he like cast all of these like big names, but not particularly known for being good actors. So like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sean William Scott, American Pie, The Rock, a wrestler, and then everyone else is like a comedian. So they're not like serious dramatic actors. And I wonder if there was a thought process behind it, but it doesn't land. It's just a really, really messy, terrible film.
I might watch that.
Don't.
Yeah. Don't. No. Give it a go. Give it a go. Okay, so the last thing that I've asked the boys to do is to see if they could recall any horrendous cinema experiences in the 2000s. Matt.
I've got loads of bad cinema experiences, but the worst one ever, we tried to get it. I don't know. I think some of you may have been here. It's back in 2002, so we would have been 12, 13, and we thought we'll put on a shirt, maybe a chain, make ourselves look older, and try and get into the 15-rated Ali G in the house. It was all the rage at the time. There was a big group of us. I think we ranked each other in oldest looking to youngest looking. We sent forth our oldest looking friend to ask for 6 tickets for Ali G in the house, to which the teller said, no, you're clearly not 15. It's Ice Age or nothing. So we all turned around, had a look at each other and said, 6 tickets for Ice Age, please. And then we were all there dressed up in jeans, shirts for some reason. I wore a shirt. I don't know what anyone else wore, but I thought, I'm going to get in because I'm wearing a shirt. What 12-year-old owns a shirt? And we just had to sit there and watch Ice Age instead of Ali G in the house. And the worst thing about that was I'd already seen Ice Age. So it was the second time I was watching Ice Age.
Excellent. Good stuff. Bully, let's come to you next.
So I had two, and I think both of them might actually involve Matt, actually. One would have been Swim Fan. The other one was Grudge.
I was going to say The Grudge because it's fucking terrifying. But can I just quick? Are you going to say anything about Swim Fan?
If you want to talk about Swim Fan, mate, you feel free to talk about Swim Fan.
Bully liked a girl. She told me she also liked him. I was jealous, so I didn't tell Bully. I did, however, tell him 6 years later.
Guess what? Fast forward to Grudge. Liked that girl also. Thought, you know, let's go to the cinema. We went in a massive group of people. I think everyone on this call would have been there. There was too many people. So me and Matty sat away from everyone else in what is Grudge, which is quite a scary film. And I hate scary films. I'm shit scared of scary films. That's why I don't watch them. And me and Matty sat in the front row, shitting ourselves, jumping out of our skin. Nothing happened. The Grudge. Worst cinema experience in my life.
That was up there with one of my worst as well. I hated that film. I was so scared. I think I might have been sat next to you, Ethan. I think I might have just hugged you the whole time.
I think you did.
I was so scared. Do you know when you're so scared and you're trying not to be scared? I just tried to make jokes all the time. I remember one of them, like the face popped up, and do you remember that advert at the time? It's got your number. I just shouted, "Got your number," and everyone was like, "Shut up, you idiot!" I was like, "I'm just trying to make it humorous because I'm so scared.
I'm gonna pee myself."
That was horrible. That film. I even remember thinking, "Good." I was just happy I didn't live in Japan because I didn't want to have a Grudge house.
And another mention for Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, I mean, that's a common theme in our worst films of the decade.
Yeah, it's good. Don't sit next to Ethan when you're watching a scary film, because it doesn't matter if the film's got a scary bit or not. Ethan will just he'll just grab you and make you jump, you know, every few minutes. It's really annoying. Anyway, Ethan, what's your pick? Worst cinema experience?
I've got two, and it's very personal. So I don't know if it was with you, Michael. So we went to go watch Mummy Returns at Robin's Cinema.
Wasn't me.
Okay. We went to Mummy Returns. It came out in 2001. We couldn't even get into a 12. They asked for my ID.
But what 12-year-old has ID? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. They're like, "You got any ideas?" Like, no.
This is so before you grew fresh hair. Shrek.
I can't believe that The Mummy Returns was a 12.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that.
But the thing is, you were 12, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. So we watched Shrek instead.
But what sort of job's worth is turning around? Like, do you know what I mean? As a 12, just let them in.
Exactly. There was another, wasn't there another experience like that where you didn't get into a 12?
He didn't get into a PG. No. They wouldn't let him watch Harry Potter without his mum.
This is going on to my second one. So I think we all went out as a group. We went to Bracknell Cinema this time. We went to go watch Four Brothers.
Yeah,
it's a 15, one. This one. So we all go up. It's like, you got any ID? No, I was 16 at the time. It's a 15. No, I've got no ID. What other film was playing? only it's Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit.
Beware the were-rabbit.
So basically, we all try to get into films and then end up watching animations or clay.
But the thing is, what is the answer to that? Have you got ID? No, I don't. What do you want?
No.
My fucking birth certificate.
Oh, dearie me.
Did you go watch Beware of the, was it? The Were-Rabbit?
Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yeah. Curse, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah,
they did.
Any good?
It's good.
No, yeah.
No, Wallace and Gromit films are shit.
Now I watch it nearly every day with my daughter.
Have you ever watched, like...
The Mummy Returns, Ethan, is also the one we mentioned about The Rock as well. So
so many crossovers.
The Mummy Returns is when the bad CGI, The Rock turns into a scorpion, and then they were like, well, we might as well make The Scorpion King. It's like,
which is a horrendous film. Yeah. Right, my pick for worst cinema experience is a slightly different approach. It's got nothing to do with scary films or not getting into films. So this is, we're a little bit older, actually. This is towards the end of the decade. And I don't know if you were there, but a few of us made the very bad decision to go and see the film Adulthood at Bracknell.
Yeah.
Was anyone here?
I like that.
Now, Adulthood, for anyone who's not seen it, is the sequel to Kidulthood. And it's a bit, you know, down with the youths, isn't it?
I like all those films.
Yeah.
What do you mean all of them? There's more than two.
There's three.
Yeah, there's three.
What's the third one called? Old manhood.
What is it called? What is the third one called?
Grandpahood.
Grandpahood.
Nanhood.
I think it's called
It's Brotherhood.
Brotherhood. That's it, yeah. So
one
these are
Plan B in it, didn't it?
Was
it?
The second one's got Plan Adulthood. B in it, yeah. Adulthood. Yeah. And obviously, it attracted a lot of the local youth.
I think I might have been with you when you saw this.
My girlfriend, then now wife, was with us as well. I don't know why she came.
A few alpha males,
but it wasn't alpha males. It was children in tracksuits.
They're scarier than alpha males.
Yeah, there was the cinema was full, and we were the only people in there that were not trying to perform a live reenactment of that film, and
like neon lights under their car.
Yeah, and it was just a really, really bad experience. There was just people smoking in the cinema because that's proves you're a bad man.
Smoking in the cinema. All my days, I've never seen someone.
Oh, not the countless people smoking in the cinema.
You're joking.
Yeah. Like, so this one's a really like old fogey pick, but. Yeah, that was a horrible, horrible evening where, you know, you put your wallet in your front pocket as you leave the cinema screen.
Do you know what? This is not the noughties, it's my worst thing. I went to go see with my partner, I think it was the new Blade Runner film, and a French couple sat next to us, and one of the couple didn't speak French, so the other translated the whole film to the other person. Like, but not whispering. And I just was like, we told him to shut up. And they were just like, he just looked at us, you're not going to see this, but he just looked, just shrugged his shoulders, was like, you can leave because this is what I'm doing. I was just like, what the fuck? But it was like really loud. And it was fucking annoying. But yeah, that cinemas, because they get loads of people in, it's always when you watch a film like that, if you're sat next to someone or there's like, scary looking youths, that's not good.
Well, I think we have concluded our discussion of bad films. I'm sure we will return at some point in the future to discuss films that we do actually like from the 2000s. Matt needs to get to bed. He's feeling very sleepy.
It's just a lot of negative energy about all these crap films.
Yeah, we need to do an.
And I haven't even mentioned Matrix Reloaded.
Or anything has Adam Sandler in it.
Yeah. Matrix Revolutions was going to be one of my picks, but
yeah,
I couldn't bring myself all to of Matrix is going to be.
No, the first one's genius.
First one's right. Good. First one is good.
Listen, you can't be trusted. You don't like Freddy Got Fingered.
Sorry, Pete. Fuck off!
Right, I think on that note, we should say goodnight. Night, chaps. Have a wonderful rest of your evenings.
Night, Michael.
Night, night.
Night, night.
Night.
Yeah!
Also, some of the feedback I actually got was that the extra naughty theme tune is better than the feeling naughty theme tune.
Yeah, so Michael said, extra better, naughty. Mate.
I actually really like it.
Extra naughty.
I didn't understand a word it said, mate.
Do you want to get extra naughty, baby?
It sounds like it should be the opening for like the new Love Island.
Extra naughty. Emily South says Africa. I should start selling jingles.
Yeah, no, she's wrong.
Does it sound like Newsbeat?
You'd be like Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men.
Season 2's got to have a different tune to it.
No.
No.
It's part of the brand, mate, now.
Extra naughty. Can we swap it around and just have Feeling Naughty?